Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, that's quite nice, wasn't it?
Oh, bit of a funky one.
Yeah. God, there was a very piercing note in that, though. That.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah. It was really good. I like the, pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Fingal, and welcome to the Hat Chat podcast, episode 67?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I think it's 67. Yeah.
I'm Chris Trott.
I'm Ross Hornby.
And I'm Alex Smith.
And we're here tuning in every week on a whatever day it is that we release on podcast, but we live stream it on a Friday if you want to join us on twitch.tv/hatfilms. I don't know why you would. Honestly, anything can happen. Someone could die on stream, but we'll see. Anyway,
Jesus Christ, we said that the other day, didn't we?
Huh?
That like if somebody was live, like
at any moment,
moment, a live streamer could just die on stream.
Yeah, and you're watching.
That could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's,
happened,
a worry,
isn't it? Once or twice, because of like someone that was really kind of unhealthy anyway, decided to do like a really, really long stream.
And really? They died because of like exerting themselves on stream?
Or just having loads and loads of energy drinks, being unhealthy in the first place, maybe having underlying health conditions. It's just like a cocktail of problems that ultimately led to that person dying on stream. So,
indeed, but it could happen. So watch out. Always
that's why you should
be
follow us. Follow us on twitch.tv to maybe watch one of us pass out.
Perish in front of your own eyes.
Yeah. We've had some hypotheticals being chosen by our wonderful patrons. And in order of the most popular, I have the following. So, Smith, would you like to read out the one that they voted for the most?
So the first hypothetical that the Patreon crew has decided to pose is, if you could spend a day talking to an animal, what animal would you choose and what would you want to learn from them?
it's a weird question, but it's the one that they picked.
Is it obvious, though? I mean, as in, like, would you not just talk to your pet in the sense that you'd want to really communicate? The one you share your home with, and a lot of your time. I mean, I talk to him anyway. He doesn't talk back.
Mm.
So I would like to talk to Murphy and know what's going on inside his head. It'll probably just be simple things like hungry, ball, want to play ball. So it might be simplified.
Do you reckon it's that element of once you know, it's kind of disappointing? And would you rather not know? Where it's like, all these like little clues and stuff that I've humanized about this dog, and they always come up to me and nuzzle in. It's like, no, they're actually just like smearing their odor on you, and you know those little like base things that you apply emotions to. Ultimately,
also
are,
like,
want to fuck?
Well, yeah.
Fuck
what language do they speak? Do they speak
exactly? They might think in a completely different way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like certain insects and things are literally like biomechanisms, as in like they're like, you know, like ants, for example, function as these incredible hives, but they're like ultra simple individuals, but they can do these amazing things. And a lot of it is like pheromone based, you know, like ants following trails and operating on like very simple individual operating instructions. But as a group, they achieve such crazy things. Like, but you wouldn't want a conversation with an ant, because like you'd ask them, what do you do? And they'd just be like, I move forward. That's like, you know, that's it. Right. I follow that funny smell I like. So I think we have to presume here that A, we need to give a funny answer.
Of course,
the animal is indeed capable of using and functioning in the same methods of thought that we use, I suppose.
I reckon there's some out there, like dolphins would be interesting to speak to, potentially. And then they'd, you know, unveil this conspiracy that they are actually the most sentient being on the planet, and that they're just biding their time and letting humanity kind of fizzle out so that they can become the dominant species, or they're forming an underground mass extinction event of humans, and that they're building weapons and stuff underwater.
I'd like to ask dolphins whether they've seen any aliens down there. Definitely. I think that'd be an interesting thing to talk to a dolphin about. Seen any aliens? Right.
I mean,
and again,
what's the craziest thing you've seen in the sea?
Yeah,
surely we're aliens to them.
I mean, I don't actually often ask people, have you ever seen an alien? I usually think, what do you think what do you think they could be? You know, like if they exist, what do you think they could be? I think it's a more interesting conversation. Not,
and have you,
one time I was driving down the M32, I looked up off to the right, and I swear I saw something moving around, because I'm just like, it's just going to be a helicopter. You know, I'm not going to think anything of it. Right.
Yeah.
So. Now, I mean, I would like to ask a dolphin if they'd seen an alien. I'd like to ask a monkey what his favorite food is, just to like see, like, you know, is it bananas? Do they like bananas that much?
Figuring out preferences would be quite helpful, right? In terms of just figuring out kind of an order of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be good for most animals to know how to...
Yeah, because we think we love and care for them, and we try to. Well, most people try to in some form. But we don't really know what we're doing, and a lot of the time we're just paranoid, and we may very well be projecting our own thoughts and feelings onto something that does not think and operate in that way at all, you know, like,
of course.
I'm not sure how much of a meaningful relationship I can have with a crab, really, you know. I mean,
even
lizards are a stretch, you know, like there definitely is some like behavioral stuff that you can use and have fun with, and they come up and talk to you.
They don't talk to you.
No,
do you think you need to have like a relatability with them then? Like, obviously you said monkeys, whereas like we're a little bit closer to kind of their form factor. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's, and also they have like some of them have lips. Like you can speak to like an orangutan, and they
is
actually
that
could
prerequisite
perhaps
for Ross
get
talking
shapes.
To them. They need
I don't know. It's just
they
can actually talk. They can actually use their mouth to talk. Whereas you're talking to a dolphin.
Yep.
You or lizard, shit back.
Lizards don't have lips either.
Well, I'm going to assume the question is a little spurious, and that you just have an inherent understanding. Like
you can hear them in your head, regardless.
Yeah,
there's a communication.
Something like
them.
That. There's a communication. You can understand.
Wow,
you can talk.
What
do
I learn from the most, though?
How do you really like hold your breath, though, dolphin? Like, how does it? Can I do that? Please teach me. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, "No, you're an idiot. Biologically speaking, you couldn't. You drown. You fool." Mm. You're a human. Mm. Why are you asking me this question? And then I'd be like, well, fuck you, dolphin. I can't believe I wasted my one, like, being able to talk to an animal on you, asshole. Mm. Then I'd punch him, and I wouldn't give him any fish.
Oh, play. Really, that's a tough move, but I appreciate that.
You'd punch the dolphin as well, right on the nose. Do any of you ever think how weird it is that we use air to vibrate cords in our throat to make sounds in order to communicate with each other? Like,
what, think that that's weird, or it's just something we've
just
known
that is
from the
so weird
dawn of our own personal existence?
That is bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Think
it is
about
very
it.
Strange. Like, if you compare, maybe we're the weird ones where our communication is so specific and niche. And also,
we don't often have to use that to communicate.
No,
you can write something down, and we use our eyes.
That's
and,
a good point.
Body language and.
But I mean, this is the primary way of imparting complex information, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
We encode it in speech and through, well, no, mm-hmm. what we do, we encode it into air vibrations, which is just mad. Imagine walking into a forest or walking into an aviary of some description, and all the birds are tweeting like mad in ultra complicated like patterns, you know? Like that's yeah. essentially what speech is. Like we can control so much of it, and that would just, you'd just be like, bloody hell, this is a lot. This is a lot. Like the human brain is quite sort of, we're not that smart in our day to day, but we can do something as complicated as vibrate air at perfect points consistently.
Of course, yeah.
That blows
but
my
we
mind.
Don't question that ability, yeah. do we? Which is, I guess, like when you go back to the ant thing and like ask them, like, yeah. what do you do? And like, how does it work? We couldn't, like, someone that uneducated could explain like the larynx and like the yeah. vocal cords and stuff like that. And I just know it just happens, it just comes out. And inherently
like, how
know.
Do you breathe? And it's like, well, I just do.
Yeah.
I don't choose to breathe. I'm just automatically doing it unless you think about it now.
I imagine most of the animal kingdom. Yeah, now you breathing. Think about breathing. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, should I have a breath? Breathe in yet? I'll breathe in now. Yep. That's a deep one. And I'll breathe out again.
And what if you stop?
If an ant asked you, was an intelligent ant, and said, well, how do you breathe? You go, well, I use my lungs. I know that much. And that's pretty much. You know, some of it, I just do
but,
it.
So this is like the distinction between innate and all that sort of stuff, yeah. like knowledge. But then also, no, that's what do they call
it's
it?
Conscious action,
bioautonomous kind of or something study. Like that. Yeah. Well, it's like your heart as well. Like, you know, that yeah. beats like without conscious thought. Anyway, Charles, what were you going to say?
I saw an interesting article that's got me thinking about it, about the real Mowgli from Jungle Book. Based on someone called Dina Sanichar, I probably pronounced that wrong, from probably. India, the Pradesh jungle. They found him in 1867, raised by wolves, and brought to an orphanage. Not the only one, I'll hasten to add.
Raised by wolves is an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so they were raised by wolves until...
Jesus, this guy looks like an absolute mess. I mean, he doesn't look as Disney
Sorry,
presentable.
He was raised by wolves, is that correct?
Have you seen this guy?
Yes.
I'll find the article, hang on.
Yes, it's raised by wolves. I will put it on screen. One second.
Okay.
Here we go. For those watching, of course. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Raised by wolves. But, of course, the story that Disney told and was obviously written by the original... Yeah. I don't know who wrote the original Jungle Book, but, not so
Was that
happy.
Rudyard Kipling it just said there?
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah... Because he was raised by wolves, apparently there's a certain period when you're growing that you learn a language, right? You learn to speak English or whatever. Apparently, past a certain point, if you haven't learned a language, it becomes near impossible to learn to speak. So this...
Oh, really?
Dina was unable to speak until, like... he wasn't able to speak at all for his entire life. He was able to, like, become a bit more human... In a lot of traits, like wear clothes and like start standing upright. But for like a long time, they had to train him for like not to stand upright, not to do like things like growl at stuff instead of like saying no thanks.
So he could vocalize in some way, like the growling, for example.
Entirely
there was
like
some
a
vocalizations,
dog.
But no form factor to it. There's no real structure.
Yeah. And like possessive of bones and stuff like that. It was strange just how much of a wolf he was.
just
and
learned
how hard
that.
It was to teach him to just be a human again. Which I found fascinating. Like, you could literally raise a kid with wolves and they would think they were a wolf. They were like 5 or 6 when they were discovered. So that's
so
like
this is,
formative years.
This is feral children, essentially. This is what this is. There's not a small part of psychology, but this is something to do with psychology. It's quite an interesting studies because of the nature of, like you say, what if a human being was never exposed to humanity, like, from the start? Yeah. What would they learn or what would be innate? Like, what? It would allow you to essentially do scientific tests, like an A/B study of, because it's not ethical, obviously, to raise a human being outside of human contact in any other circumstance. But yeah, feral children. There's quite a few incidents of feral children in the last few hundred years, and they're all quite interesting, all quite sad. I mean, there's no good stories really. It doesn't really do a human being much good to be raised on their own or raised by animals.
Small kind of indigenous tribes that are like kind of unknown to external forces? So like they're just on their own, a very small community, and they've educated themselves in whatever language they've come up with. Is that a thing now still?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all languages
so
are
I remember a few years
that.
ago, There was a story of some idiot who decided to try and approach a known indigenous tribe, but then got killed, shot with arrows. And then obviously didn't survive to tell any more than that. But it's interesting to think that's could be a similar situation, but obviously a small group of people. So what kind of language do you think they're coming up with? Is it a known language or just their own thing? And it's just like, well...
Yeah, shit. I'm sure they're coming up with their own thing, but based on the biological abilities of the human body, right? So they still have vocal cords and things like that. So they're going to utilize everything they have to the best of their ability and what's suitable for their environment. So I assume making calls and things like that to each other to alert for danger or safety... for food or for not food, you know, those things would develop over time and they would be passed down the generations because they're able to.
Well, it's like how all languages probably initially developed. Yeah,
it would just be done at different speeds and you know, based on how effective it is.
Yeah, or how long that that tribe has existed, how long they've been like isolated, whether or not they're fully isolated or not, you know, because they may have had influences over the years. But I'm sure they probably have their own language if they are truly isolated.
What I'd like to do is take Ross, for example, and give him the Tom Hanks Castaway situation. We'll put him back out into nature in a jungle and see what he's like in like 10 to 12 years. And would he lose his humanity a little bit? Would he lose your ability to speak?
I almost lost my mind in the pandemic. So I think 12 years, I think I'm...
That would do it, wouldn't
it? Pretty loopy. I'm pretty just off the register there. But who knows? I mean, I've learned a lot up to this point. So, I mean, I guess I'm going to keep this knowledge that I've got.
But it's all like mostly what you've learned is in a civilized society where convenience is on your doorstep. You'd have to, well, say you survived, right? 10, 12 years. You pick up those basic survival skills. Somehow you fluke your way through and you become one with nature. You know how to like get fresh water and fend for yourself and have a shelter and whatnot.
Yeah.
All of that other stuff, like how Logic Pro works and recording and plugins and stuff like that. Not useful for your surroundings 10 to 12 years later. Do you reckon that would all just...
use that in itself as well. But yeah, no, I think... I could barely strike a fire the other day. So I had the tools available and we were struggling. All of us were struggling. Yeah. So, I guess also given enough time, I think I could maybe, you know, get two sticks together and start a fire and maybe start from the scratch. But
the problem is if it's
no
wet.
Real training in that. Of course.
Like, if it's wet, you're screwed. Like,
we were using moisture than.
You require such dry tinder to spark. Like using a small ferret rod like we were using. And like,
how did we survive them to this point? You know,
I mean, you could try a different system. You could try using the bow and pole, you know, the one where they rotate a pole very quickly in an area to create friction. That would probably work better in slightly damp wood, I imagine. But hell no, it's hard. Yeah, it is hard.
No, I think survival, I'd struggle big time. I'd probably die within a few days, Trump. Let's be honest.
Cool.
Well, another thing is you would keep the fire going. So once you had any source of fire, you would keep the fire going and you could take the fire with you by, you know, carrying a flaming torch would be one way of doing it. You wouldn't be able to travel very far without it going out. But, you know, that would be another way to sort of move around and
make
fire.
More fires. Yeah.
And this is presuming that you don't mind
being
found.
Just have a gender reveal party, mate. It'll be fine.
Just have a gender reveal party and burn down. You know, they had the rap General Sherman in aluminium. Yeah. To protect
So horrifying to read about that. I read that this morning, where basically when we went there, the Sequoia National Park is had some lightning strikes that caused some fires, and they're desperately trying to protect some of the trees there. General Sherman being, 2,500 years old?
Yeah.
Potentially predicted. I don't think they know the exact age.
It's an old-ass tree.
It was a hunky tree. Big old chunk of a tree. Giant. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they're trying to protect it, but I don't know if... I mean, the redwoods are supposedly good against fire, necessarily, but still, though, it'd be tragic to see that forest go down.
It was just such a nice place as well, you know? The Grove of Giants, or whatever they called it. All the huge trees, and it's just like... Also, just all I just think about all the like the animals and ecosystems that are around these forests as well. It's not just trees burning. Like some trees can grow back, I get that. And, you know, yeah, some trees have better fire protection. Some trees actually require a fire every so often in order to maintain them. But, like, all it's, of the little animals and stuff are getting
the forest, right?
Burnt to hell.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Because it opens up some light and lets other stuff grow as well. So there are some factors that...
But you don't want the whole forest burning. That's the problem.
Of course not, no.
Yeah, that's... But it's because it's so damn dry and it's so damn hot because climate change. And it's happening faster. I mean, I don't want to make it... I mean, I don't... Maybe you should make everyone nervous about it, because the thing is, I think a lot of people do realize. I don't think there's many people that don't realize that climate change is a big problem. But it's... It seems to be getting a lot worse if unless it's not just social media making me mad. I don't know. But yeah.
Probably.
No, it is.
It's a combo.
It is concerning. Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, so we did the animal thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Patreon number two says, go on.
I just have a little quickie in between. It can be answered really quickly. So, okay. I saw a TikTok, and this is the base of all knowledge now. It's where you get your facts. Someone said that there's increasing evidence and studies from scientists that we actually share a collective consciousness, and that you don't actually truly die, and that we are all one and the same system, and that it's like kind of like Buddhism in a way, where you just pass on your... Because energy never really gets destroyed. You just emerge elsewhere in the universe and existence. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts on that?
That seems like that's not a quick question, Trot. You just said it was like this, like a yes or no answer. I mean,
what
or something.
Do you have a link to this? What was the actual? Did you say some people have been suggesting?
I was flicking through. Okay, I didn't save it. It's an interesting springboard for a conversation, though, right? Maybe too big.
Is that almost like with the mentality of like reincarnation? Though, is that what you're kind of
not necessarily like you're going to come back on Earth
spiritually?
As this thing. No, not even spiritual.
Logically. If the universe is infinite, and if energy cannot be destroyed, as you say, then one day, somewhere, all of the energy and all of the things that make you up, infinite monkeys, infinite typewriters, you could exist again somewhere. Let's say you rot and die and disappear into the ground, and then the Earth in a billion years explodes, and then you get shot across the infinite cosmos, and one day by... just infinite chance, you reassemble with everybody else. That could happen. I don't think the universe is actually infinite, though. Or rather, we're discovering it may not be totally infinite and always expanding. You know, it might not continue to do that forever. So therefore, that entire idea of infinite monkeys, infinite typewriters, the idea that with an infinite number of chances and an infinite number of possibilities, everything will happen eventually is this idea.
Yeah.
It's possible. Everything is possible if that is true. However, if we take that out the window and that kind of thinking out the window of what is possible, I would say from every piece of evidence that I've experienced and I've seen that the idea that we share a group consciousness is extremely unlikely. I think that we are cursed with a level of intelligence that allows us to contemplate our own existence, and it gives us some amazing things and amazing experiences and amazing feelings. But I don't think that it extends beyond the end of our biomechanical setup functioning. I don't think it does. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason we can think and the reason we can contemplate is because we're just evolutionarily lucky. Our brains are very big. We have a lot of links that we can create in our minds, and it allows us to do these amazing things. And it's brilliant. And we're so lucky to be that. But I don't think there's any reason why after death and after our bodies stopping and decomposing and going back into the ground, being that energy that we take up throughout our lives, you know, I don't think there's any reason why consciousness would exist beyond that, personally.
Oh, that's my take on
that. Yeah, there's no way to measure something like that, which is kind of the big question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the consciousness is such a curious thing, and, you know, transferring that. It's kind of, are people even working on that? I mean, in a digital form, aren't they?
Yeah.
How to store memory and whatever Elon Musk is doing with those pigs, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Well, it's
that's
also
more like neuro. Is that not neuro control, or is that something else?
Yeah, interfering.
It's mechanical interface with the brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the first step to something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It also, I think the more we study the brain and our consciousness, the more we realize how flawed it also is, and that all of our perceived consciousness and understanding of reality is through a distorted lens sometimes. So there is that. I just want to come back as a fucking meerkat. I was just trying to get to that point.
You want to get to that? Yeah, of right, course. Okay. What, of like, what animal would you want to come back
as? My consciousness comes back as a meerkat.
Like, I really like the idea of reincarnation. I think that's a really interesting idea, and it would be really cool if that was a thing. But there's obviously zero way to measure that, or if that ever happened. But then you have to think about all of the living organisms on the planet that you could potentially come back as, and do you really want to come back as, like, I don't know, it's fucking a mite or an earworm or a, you know,
some there's form all sorts of mindless of, parasite.
You wouldn't last long.
Yeah.
Sure, wouldn't you wouldn't last long, but
unless you're a turtle.
That's the, if you're going to believe in that, there's, be prepared, because you could just come back as, you know, a, you know, some sort of weird organism that, you know, who knows what exists in the sea still.
I remember not reading...
a sea urchin.
I was reading Animorphs as a kid, and... in one of the storylines, I don't know if you remember, if they stayed in their animal form too long, they got stuck like it. Do you remember that Animorphs?
Yeah, I do.
And so there was always this quite terrifying reality of, like, if one of them gets stuck in a certain situation, they're going to have to stay like that. But what happened was one of them, I can't remember his name, but one of the guys gets stuck as his, like, hawk form.
I
don't know.
I think I have.
And... the book is really interesting. The book kind of went into this whole idea of, like, him getting used to just being a peregrine falcon. And it was really interesting. And I was like, this is kind of horrible, but also he is a peregrine falcon, which is one of the fastest birds of prey, you know, and it talked about
how... you don't
how
get to enjoy the life he had before.
Yes.
So you can't just sit at a dinner table with humans and kind of socialize or do anything. You are now just a falcon, which is a different way of living entirely. You couldn't even... conceptually imagine how it would be to live as a peregrine falcon, really.
Right. Oh, it's a red-tailed hawk, sorry. Yeah, that, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Okay. A bird of prey. But I thought, I mean, I would love to be a bird of prey if I was to come back. I think it looks great fun. You get to fly around. You get to live in beautiful places. You get to be...
Yeah, flying would be good.
Yeah, you get to just fly about. I don't know. I think that'd be really cool. I wouldn't want to be the one that flies in front of the truck and gets, like, obliterated, you know, when you see that sometimes with birds, they just dodge the road.
All those pheasants we saw in Scotland just laid to waste on the side of the road. Tiny brains, they don't know what a car is.
I think, considering, like, most of the animal kingdom don't last that long, right? Because either mutilated and killed, or you just don't have a long lifespan. You could just cycle through it, the entire animal kingdom, in a very short space of time, relatively speaking. So you get to experience it all, but never really appreciate it, because you can't come back as the new thing or come back as a human and be like, I was a snake, a worm,
in my former life. Yeah. I was a turtle for almost 100 years, guys.
Yeah,
you were a turtle.
But I remember every year, every single year. Or a tortoise,
and it was,
rather.
I was called Terry, and I had this owner for a while until he died, who just put a webcam on me and streamed playing Overwatch. Anyway, at this point, I'd like to say a big thank you to our patrons who are listening to this completely ad-free, and to everyone else on a podcasting platform. Unfortunately, I have to deal with an ad.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
And we're back from that ad.
That was gone.
So if you didn't hear one, congratulations. Not all ads are served in your relative country and or podcasting platform. But
so lucky you.
Lucky you. But you can be guaranteed to not have ads if you support us on Patreon. And we really thank you for doing that. We put up the hypotheticals every week, so you can choose which one we talk about first. And yeah, thanks. You get credited at the end of the video as well. Anyway, let's move on, shall we, from these big questions. I don't know why you brought it up about consciousness, so I think we should move on.
That's a very big question. If anything, it has its own, moment in our podcasts.
Indeed.
That was a big one.
It was deep.
Reincarnation, Jesus. Okay. Well, do you want to do funny news? Or this week I heard / saw?
Absolutely.
Which there was a really interesting one, actually, which might be interesting to you as well, which I found earlier on about the title is Astronaut Blood Can Be Used to Make Concrete on Mars, scientists say.
Nice.
You heard about this at all?
No.
So apparently it would cost too much to even send a single brick to Mars. It would apparently cost about $2 million with estimates to send just a brick, which obviously seems ridiculous considering you could probably use some of the resources there.
Mm-hmm.
But astronauts can simply make their own concrete on site using Martian dust and their own blood, according to findings published in a journal called Materials Today Bio. I know you're up on your journal, so you should have read it.
I saw this one. He's
always
morning,
reading journals. According to the study, scientists have already made a concrete-like substance called astrocrete using human blood and a synthetic regolith.
Regolith.
How to say that?
Yeah.
Regolith, which is a scientific term for soil on Mars and the Moon. The mixture works because of human serum albumin, a common protein found in the plasma of human blood. The protein curdles when it's dehydrated, creating a strong bonding agent that pulls the dust together. I just found this really, really interesting that you could, you know, create...
Yeah, this is really cool.
They could create buildings made from scientists' blood.
The blood, sweat, and tears.
The blood, sweat, and tears are building...
Martian
building bricks
shelters.
Of the next civilization, which is just quite an interesting thing I saw. Or they could also, of course, use animal bloods, but...
Well, they said also that when they add urea to the mix as well, which comes from sweat, tears, and urine, increases the strength of the astrocrete by 300%.
Yeah,
it can be shaped into any form and can even be used in 3D printing. It does sound like a great idea. I don't know how much of it you need, though. Like,
well, this is it.
Do you send up an astronaut with a treadmill? And like, you know, is that
yeah?
Like, where are they getting the water from? Is there ice on Mars that we can get some water from?
Yes.
Like. There is.
There's water.
Did they find ice recently?
Yeah, a decade ago.
Is it underground or something? I can't remember what the parameters were, but yeah, I guess they do. But yeah, you need a lot.
You
need a lot of people.
Right. What if we could do a thing where when people died, they could be volunteered to be shot at Mars in like a rail gun. Like we wrap them up in like, I don't know, some form of material,
We
like vacuum pack the fuckers.
Bubble wrap.
And then we load them into a rail gun, aim them at Mars, and then we have a point on Mars, which is like the receiving end. And then once you die, you get fired off to Mars, and then they get to extract all the blood and water and things, and you know, it reduces the amount of people on Earth. We should be using them to replenish the Earth, though, in the world. It's probably another good point, because everything in an ecosystem, once it's taken, it goes into something else, and then it goes back round again, right? So like, the chameleon we've got it. I mean, it's a bioactive thing. So I give him food. That's the input, the fuel. I give him food. He eats it. He poops it out. I've got isopods, like little wood lice, on the floor of the place. They eat his poo that out. And then I've got springtails, these microscopic little creatures in the soil, which then mulch out the wood lice poo into the soil, which helps the plants grow, right? And if I was to take any element of that out, it would stop it from working. So a human being eats food throughout their entire life, right? We grow it on the planet. We put the energy in to grow that food. We take it and then we eat it and then we grow and then we poop, right? But we need to make sure that some of the energy that we're absorbing throughout our lifetimes goes back into the earth. Otherwise, we'll just starve it and it'll die.
Well, I shat in the woods yesterday, so I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
You did shit in the woods. Nice.
Human shit's actually quite complicated to turn into fertilizer.
In the woods.
It does.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that for a moment, Trot?
You can talk about that, mate.
What, shitting in the woods?
What was it? Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's as you'd expect. Thankfully, Smith gave us the hot tip of you need to remove all the lower half. Otherwise, you're going to shit straight into your underwear.
Oh, no. The problem I have is I pee all over my trousers in front of me because, like, so you've got to strip off the bottom completely.
Strip off the bottom, really squat down because I think that helps the positioning and the traction and just letting it all out. I thought I'd have issues, being like, this is not a comfortable situation, I'm not going to be able to do it. It just fell out like a flume, really. It was amazing. Bell. I felt like at that moment I had a moment of euphoric connection to nature where I felt like this is it, you know?
This is what
it
would be like.
I just sat in nature and I'm surrounded by trees and a gentle rustling of leaves and just that smell of human feces just wafted up. I was like, nope, I should probably get my trousers back on and get the hell out of here and cover that up.
Did you not feel all the bugs desperately running up your poo like a land bridge up into your asshole?
Land bridge.
I didn't even consider that. But there were a lot of those daddy long legs and other little...
Oh, there were. Yeah. You know why? Apparently this is one of the biggest seasons for them we've had in a long time. There's a bloom.
Oh, really? Yes.
Because of the hot weather mixed with lots of rain, we've had a real good season for insects, which is a good news, really, because we need more insects because they fund... Mm. Most of those ecosystems, but
yeah,
daddy long legs aren't particularly nutritious, I don't think. So,
I guess how long they last?
September as well, aren't they? In general,
3 days.
3 days. Three days. That's it.
Is it true that they have like a poison, but they can't administer it because they don't have teeth?
Yeah, I think so.
Read that.
Is that just a myth?
Their mouth isn't open wide. They have a very toxic, venom. It's an urban legend, is it? Yeah, but they couldn't open their mouth wide enough or something, is what I heard as well. That's a complete...
Or if it's just one of those things, it's like, they're actually really...
Crane flies is what we're talking about, by the way.
Crane flies, yeah.
Daddy long legs are a nickname for them here.
Sorry.
Okay, so yeah, it's incorrect to think that.
But yeah,
the confusion is with the terms venomous and poisonous, which are not interchangeable, of course. That was clarified there by Smith.
Cranefly facts.
Most folks who retell this tale have no idea they are referring to two completely different separate groups of animals, daddy long legs and daddy long legs spiders. So there are different spiders. I don't think... Do we have the spider version here?
Spiders?
Yeah. There is a picture. I mean, I put it on the page for you, Trot. Look at the spiders. They look like daddy long legs, but obviously they've got little spider body. They've got similar, like, spindly legs. But there's loads of spiders like that, so maybe we do have them.
Apparently they're a bit of a pest because their larvae lives in the top layers of soil where they feed on the roots, root hairs, and crown of crops, stunting their growth or killing the plants. So this might be that we have even less food available next year because of all of this boom. Bye. Stop.
Says here, some have defensive secretions that might be toxic to small animals if ingested. Right. So, for these daddy long legs, the tale is clearly false.
Right.
But
there you go. Debunked.
So don't worry about daddy long legs. You know, they'll just be annoying and flap around. I'm not sure. I mean, we saw them literally jump into the fire. They don't give a shit.
Right.
They're dumb.
Will just
they're really
dumb. Themselves into a burning flame. there you go.
But to add to that, I know we're in. Funny news, Thash, this week we heard saw, but we did see plenty of that because we were out in nature in Wales. If you don't know, we spent the night in a big 7-meter bell tent, us three and Craig, who did our camera stuff. And we decided to climb the tallest mountain in South Wales and definitely south of Snowdonia in the UK. So that was quite the excursion. Not only that, we decided to take an entire PC on our backs to the top, complete with the ability to power it with a massive block battery that we charge with solar panels. It was a ridiculous challenge that we set ourselves. I think
the battery monitor must have weighed almost 15 kilograms, probably close to.
Yeah.
Smith brought his massive hiking bag.
It was part of a brand deal thing that we're doing as well. So it's not just we just thought, oh, let's just lug a load of unnecessary gear up a hill.
Yeah.
It was part of that, so that's the reason. But there's going to be a nice little vlog on our main Hat Films channel if you want to see that at some point soon, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. Well, yeah, Craig is already looking at the footage, and it seems really good so far. So there'll be at least two videos coming out on that. So if you're not subscribed to us already on YouTube, just search for Hat Films and subscribe to that one that has the most subs.
Indeed. Oh, you subscribe to both if you want. I mean, there's gameplay stuff on there as well. On
some really
gaming.
Good stuff. Yeah. So Bigfoot recently. Very exciting.
Yeah, people really, really like that Bigfoot again. We played it like 4 years ago. And it's had a lot of updates since then.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. It's really hard, though. The bloody Bigfoot's a tank.
He's a tough lad.
Yeah.
Really too hard. I mean, if we had like 20 of us with like a lot of ammo, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll have to figure out.
Maybe like if we had like a Gatling gun. If we had like some sort of like anti-ship weapon. I don't know. Like something like that.
A nuke option. Yeah.
Yeah.
A nuke option would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. Just blown into pieces with a 30 cal.
Well, thankfully, we didn't have to deal with a Bigfoot of any kind in a.
I'd really like to play as Bigfoot. That's what I'm saying. Tell you what, there's not going to be a Bigfoot in the Sequoia National Park now, is it? They've burnt those fuckers out. You tell me there's any Bigfoot left in California, I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah, he's relocated.
A hairless Bigfoot now.
Yeah.
He could have run away and he's in a different national park now.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Maybe. He could have run away. It's true, Trot.
Could be living among people now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do a real life series where we try and find Bigfoot ourselves, even though many have tried.
It'd be fun to just go back into the forest, but it would be horrifying because more likely we'll stumble across a bear.
That's true.
That's where we'd just be like, get your bear mace!
And
I don't know what I'm doing!
Unequipped bear mace. To deal with that.
Bear mace, we're not just hunters. Everywhere! To my eyes!
And like Ross said before, we have no survival skills. Well, Ross doesn't have any survival skills. Well, I certainly don't.
Yeah.
We die. Well, we'd be bait, and then Smith would get away, I think.
I don't know. I'd probably die of apathy eventually, or to spite myself. It'd just be fruitless, wouldn't it? Because as soon as you come up against another group of human beings, it would probably just be the most paranoid experience ever. You'd just be like,
"Yeah,
are you gonna steal all of our stuff?" It's gonna be like instantly tribal, and I just don't think I could deal with humanity going back to just like everybody being tribal again. I just don't want our life. You know?
I mean,
yeah.
I literally just meant us going out looking for Bigfoot, not just like...
No, I know.
I thought we were feral.
Back on the whole, like...
We can also do the Blair Witch thing at the same time if you want.
Mix it up, like a genre mashup. We're hunting for Bigfoot, but we found a ghost witch story. I don't know.
Blairfoot, Big Witch, whichever.
Yeah.
We went to look for Bigfoot, but Bigfoot was inside us all along.
Mm.
We are Bigfoot. We're the menace in the woods.
Or we could follow loads of hikers around and just leave loads of giant footprints and just see what happens.
Yeah.
Or we could... Yeah.
We could be part of the problem. Oh,
we could shave... We could shave Ross's arms and then cover me in glue and make me Bigfoot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I might run out of arm hair, but...
No,
you can have those as well.
It would
sprinkle
look
those
great.
On.
I'll jump into a paddling pool of PVA. You guys shave all of your body hair off and just throw it on me. And then I just run around in like a pair of budgie smugglers with all this pube hair glued to me, just shouting, watch out, I'm Bigfoot. I mean, it'd be terrifying. I'd probably sort of be committed almost immediately, I imagine.
You'd likely. Get shot first, I think.
I'd get shot.
To be honest.
I'm going to bear Bigfoot.
That's a risk. Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, on that note, everybody, be safe out there if you're close to one of the places that has had Bigfoot sightings or lightning strikes. You know, that's the other big worry. Wildfires.
Which started these two wildfires, apparently.
Or if you
know
anyone's about to do a gender reveal,
tell them not to. Nobody cares that much about your goddamn baby.
Text everyone. Yeah. Who cares?
It's not
just
a big
so you
deal.
Know, we don't care.
No one gives a shit.
Oh, thank God, it's a boy. Oh, ooh, damn, it's a girl.
This forest is on fire. Shit.
Oh, God. Those flammable pieces of confetti everywhere.
Yeah, right. I don't understand. How, like, what? I don't understand a lot of things. We shouldn't start that conversation.
No.
No, don't get it.
It's all down to self-worth and how valuable people consider themselves over others, I think. That's what it comes down to. It's like, this is so important that it needs to be celebrated this much.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to know about it.
People like
self-worth,
but still. Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe they don't have the capability to understand how much they don't matter to other people. Perhaps it's that as well.
They need a grounding.
Maybe. If you'd like to be told you don't matter, get in touch with me at AlSmaffy 0800-111-123 and I'll tell you immediately how much you don't matter. It's not a free service.
That's a real hotline.
Not a free service. 0800-111-123. Let's find out.
Oh. Don't call
Alternatively,
it. Are you calling it?
Email your thoughts to hatch@hat-films.com.
Yeah.
Maybe send Smith like a little fingal of how important you are, and we'll use it at the start of our next Hat Chat. Maybe you could pose a hypothetical to us on our Patreon and be a supporter of Al Smithy's little side venture of telling people their self-worth. That might be
no,
nice.
I'm not telling them their self-worth. I'm telling them that they don't
the realities. You
know, they should have self-worth. It's more just the like how much
but
you matter
much.
To other people. How much your self-worth matters to other people is not a reflection of your own self-worth, and it never should be. That's all I'm saying. If anything, it could be seen as a pep talk, but it really depends on how you view it. And to respond to a question in chat, yes, it will be sexy. It's going to be a sexy like pep talk, but a very real one as well. But there is music in the background.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite nice. Yeah. Oh, he's calling it now.
Well, yeah, you said you mentioned it would be sexy. I'm just going to find out. They're putting on hold.
No, this is part of the service. This you get an intro music. It's we haven't paid anyone for
just
this music, so
up.
Please don't tell them we're using
it.
No,
of course not. Of
and
course.
It's like, nobody cares.
Really, really
I hope you're happy. Oh, I hope you're happy with yourself because you deserve to be happy with yourself. You take these. Put the phone down. All right, there we go.
I put it down. I'm done. With that call.
Hello.
I thought you put it on
Hello?
Speaker.
Hello. If they don't, That's if they don't stay on the line for more than 30 seconds, I don't get the £3 either. So
it's fair enough.
Damn it.
There have to be rules.
Yeah. Well.
Curse you off, Com.
Thank you for listening today. We'll be back, of course, next week with more Hat Chatting. If you have any questions or queries, feel free to send them in. You know, we always like to good hypothetical questions. If you have any burning ones, send them in and we'll talk about it.
Or interesting real life Bigfoot stories.
Yes, that sort of thing.
We're taking the very traditional route now, going from aliens right on down the road to Bigfoot stuff. At some point, we might get to revisiting Flat Earth. We're not sure.
Roads lead to Flat Earth.
All roads lead to Flat Earth via a QAnon forum. So it's an exciting time here on the internet.
It is.
Thanks for listening.
Not
everybody.
As exciting as our outro fingal. Thank you very much, MVR, CL, or Marcel. I didn't credit you enough at the start there, but thank you for sending that in. And please enjoy, and we'll see you all next week for episode 68. Goodbye, everybody. Have a
bye, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.